Discover personally how the Word of God can effect a change in your life through the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri. Reverend Victor Collins is a missionary to Guyana and serves as the senior pastor of the Lighthouse Chapel International, Georgetown, Guyana, South America, a thriving church that is making a difference in so many lives. Reverend Collins is a seasoned minister of the Word of God and has been ministering for over 15 years. He has a rare teaching gift and ministers powerfully under the anointing. Now listen to Victor Collins Isabri.
Father, in the name of your precious Son Jesus Christ, we thank you for this privilege, this opportunity to be here in your presence. We glorify, we honor, and we adore you, for all things are made by you. I thank you that, Lord, you have a word in season for us. I pray you speak to our hearts, you affect our lives, and that you will not allow us to leave your presence the same as we came. Thank you, Father, for a blessed time of fellowship in your presence. In Jesus' name, and somebody said, amen. We're ready to go around and tell one or two people, God bless you, happy Mother's Day. I love you, and you may please be seated thereafter. Oh, you should go around and tell somebody something. That's right. Don't overdo it, okay? And you may please be seated. Hallelujah. Don't greet a man and say happy Mother's Day, okay? It's not. Petra, it's good to see you. Wow. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you excited to hear this morning? I'm excited to be here. For me, it's also very... Lord, happy Mother's Day to all of you, especially the mother of the house, as I normally say. I also, my mother has passed away, unfortunately. You too, right? She was a very, very, very nice woman. I think she was more nicer than Princess Mother. I used to. You know, what do you say? The cream of the crop. I used to spend a lot of time in the kitchen with her. For me, that was, you know, some of the memorable times when I'll help her do some. You know, I'll prepare tomatoes for her to put in a stew, prepare pepper and cut onions for her. You know, cut ginger for her. Those were the things I used to do with my mother. And they were very nice, because as she's cooking to you, try to get something to eat also. Because they say that I don't know if it's also a proverb around here, but they say that the chick that is around the chicken, the hen and lot, is the one who eats the grasshopper's drumsticks. Is there something like that? Mary, is that correct? You know, so my mother was a good mother. She first and did eight, gave birth to 8 minus 1, 9, and one passed away. So it was 8 of us. And she was more of a full-time housewife. And probably that's why I like housewives. I think it's a nice thing to be a housewife. What do you think? You don't agree? Sure, it's nice to be a housewife. If I was a wife, I would be a housewife. Yeah, all them fancy working people. This is. Hey, Crystal, when you work like that, you become some way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can pass so many time and get something to eat because you're home. You can't buy no cook up by Regent Street. No Compton. No Compton. Hallelujah. Alright, so if you're here also for the first time, we welcome you. Warmly welcome you. What a day it is to have you come. It is yet a bit of a bittersweet for me as a pastor on a day like this. Because just as I said during the first service, I find it very it's a very difficult thing for me to see how the women in our church behave. Because I am used to the woman being the champion of the home. Whether it's the office, whether it's the church, everywhere. The women are the ones who put things together in the church. Except this church. So you see, there are no balloons around here. Because nobody thinks about it. They want Reverend to put balloons up here. It's a shame to all the women in the church. It's a shame to who you say you are. To polish your face and come and sit down and look that there's nothing here for you to come and celebrate Mother's Day in the church. Shame on you. You are the type of woman that you it is only your face that will cause a man to love you, but when you go home, you won't treat them nice. And it's a sad thing for me, I said, to pastor you, to for you to show such a behavior. And I want to tell you that I refuse women like this. We will not allow women to become lazy and irresponsible in this house. Women must begin to start to take care of this church. This is your home. Young and old. If you are going to have your wedding, this is where you're going to have your wedding. When is your wedding? Then you are going to think about balloons. Because it's for you. Because it's your selfish interest. Who is celebrating Mother's Day? Is it not the women? Do you even care to decorate the church for Mother's Day? I should come and decorate the church for you. You will not celebrate your Mother's Day. It's a shame. It's a shame. And that's why we are talking about the art of ministry. How women and people and men have just gone away from the things of God. When Jesus was buried, who went there to take care, to check whether, who went there early in the morning? Where are those type of women now? Wigs and powdered faces and lipstick and manicure and pedicure. It doesn't change anything about you if you don't show something beautiful from your heart. What kind of woman are you? Age of lipstick and show, shoes and wigs and dressing without substance. You are tired of such women. I say we are tired of such women. And we are not moved by your face. We are moved if you take care. You see, if you care about the Lord, then it will touch our hearts to even love you more. Because the Bible says, charm is deceitful. Proverbs chapter 31. Charm is deceitful. You can have the greatest beauty to charm the greatest man. But charm, the Bible says, is deceitful and beauty is vain. Come, so, Proverbs 31 what? 15, 10, somewhere there. Where is it, Roberto? 31 what? 30. Proverbs 31 or 30? 30 verse 10. 31 verse 30. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But the woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. The woman that fears God and thinks about the house of God, she's the woman who shall be praised. Not the ones who dress and come to church Sunday morning. Yeah. No. We have to be good women. Now there's the dress to come and sit in the church. Look at how the church looks like. No balloon. Not even one. Eh? You dress up. You're looking nice. I'm going to say church Mother's Day. I'll preach. I prepare myself to preach. Yeah. But what did you do in the church here? If you be, you don't soup. Well, there are so many of you. You don't even care what happens to this floor and what happens. You don't care. You think your beauty is vain. Your beauty. It's vain. We are not moved by your faces and the dresses you wear around here. Is it 1 Peter chapter 3? Or 2 Peter chapter 3? Let the ladies, let your beauty not be. Give me that scripture also before I go on to pray. We are talking about the art of ministry, the art of doing God's work, developing yourself to the extent that you do God's work, Anita. When I come to your house, when I'm coming for lunch, if you can't fry this and fry that and boil this and cook this and bake this and toast this and barbecue this, you're a useless woman. But is she giving the scripture or not? 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Verse 1. Oh, you know 1 Peter chapter 3. Give me verse 1. I'm preaching about the art of ministry. How to find your life's work. How to find your life's work. Do you know about your life's work? Shorty. What do we care? We don't care. Likewise, you wives, be subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, Samala, it's good to see you again, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the behavior. Another word for behavior or character is conversation of the wives. If your wife and your husband is not a Christian, it's not talking that changes your husband. It is your behavior, not your talking. No man will listen to you, no matter how much the man loves you. I was talking to a man yesterday. He was selling something that I was interested in, so I went to see him, and there were two of them. So as we were talking, then he said, my wife doesn't know, but that other one, I don't want to sell it. She wants to sell it, but I don't want to sell it. But she doesn't know. He says, this other one, I'll sell it. But not the other one. And she doesn't know. Because the woman can make the decision. Men do not just easily follow women or their advice or what they say. No matter how we love you, you have to come well. You have to know how to speak to a man and how to make a man do the things that you can't just be like a, you are like a, what an how do you call it, like a ghetto woman. You just talk and you want it to be done. You will never have it done. Men are like children. You have to find a way to handle them and make them do what you want them to do. There's nothing like I have a right. There's nothing like, there's no right. There's no equality, no right. Whatever you want, you have the power given to you by God to maneuver and let the man do the things for you. There's nothing like a right. If you're a woman, I'm talking to you. That's what the Bible says. It is your behavior. Does my wife come? Where's she there? Come. Oh, good morning, madam. You're welcome. All right. It's a behavior. Women, your behavior is the key element of your life. Not your beauty. Not your beauty. Because beauty is relative. What is beauty? Well, tell me, what is beauty? What is beauty? What is beauty? Everybody is beautiful. Everything is beautiful. And as for a woman, once you do your hair, you polish your face, you buy clothes, you are beautiful. It's automatic. All you have to do is just make sure that your hair is affected. Yeah. Once your hair is affected, your face will be affected. Yeah. Once your face get affected, you'll be affected. Yeah. Just a nice dress, you're good. As for that, you can buy it anywhere, in any shop all over the world, you can afford it. So as for beauty, it's in vain. That's why it's vain. Because beauty is not, you walk around naked and see if somebody will say you're beautiful. It's your dress, it's your shoes, it's your hair, it's your face, and how you walk that makes you attractive. But the main thing is, should I take this thing into my house, will this thing be able to make me happy? Now, at first glance, you say, oh, I'll buy it for $1 million. But if I take it home, will it be worth $1 million?
and say, Pastor, what you sell to me? That's why Adam said, the woman you gave me. Because now it's like, the first time you gave it to me, I was like, wow! But after I lived with her, I was wondering, what's this? The beauty and the fulfillment I saw the first day, that's not what I'm experiencing. Yeah. So every woman, if you're a woman, you should listen to what I'm telling you here. Yeah, because I'm one of the experienced men around. As your pastor, I'm very experienced. Scripture-wise, experience-wise, and all of that. You should take it from me. Yeah. Number two. Yeah, I'm expecting the men to shout if you move, but they're not shouting. They say, while they behold your chaste behavior again, coupled with fear. You don't fear us. You are not afraid of us. In fact, you talk to us anyhow. Mrs. Wills. You fear us. Hard or hard heart? Hard mouth. Crystal, hard mouth. No, we can't. That some of you women or wives, some of your husband can't say something. If they say it, hey, the earth will have to open for him to go inside. Petra, your behavior, in addition, there's fear. Who's adorning? Who's dressing? Let it not be that outward dressing of plaiting or plaiting of hair and of wearing of gold. I'm sure some of you don't know this scripture. Or of putting on of clothes. But let it be the hidden man of the heart. The sweetness, the attitude, the response, the resilience, the softness, the flexibility. The hidden man, the hard working, the hidden man of the heart. In that, the Bible says there is no corruption. As for faceless corruption, is that once you put powder, you look good. Yeah, some of you are masquerading. Yeah, there's no beauty. It's just a face that makes you look like you're beautiful. But if you clean the powder, hey, who's that? Juliet. Yeah. No, there are some women, you don't want to see them in the morning, you know. Early in the morning when they wake up from the bed, you don't want to see their face. You say, you're really familiar. You look familiar. No, it's a person you know. It's not familiar. It's a real person. I'm preaching about the art of ministry. And this is my introduction. Tevin Sampson? Yeah, I watch you. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, of great price. God doesn't deal with Mary Kay. God doesn't deal with Yvonne. The Bible said God looks at the heart. So, Timmy, this is your brown, light brown that the weave on. God doesn't see it, you know. No, it's we are the ones who you can deceive with all them fancy. Yeah, then you put on some glasses. Your eyes are good, but you have glasses on. It's all masquerade. They're to charm us. But God, he is not concerned about that. Verse 5, what does he say? For after this, or for in this way, in the old time, good old days. They always say good old days. The holy women also, who trusted in God, not in their outward appearance, adorned themselves. They were also people who were not more. You see, the olden days, this makeup was not there. Some nice woman just put something, a Jewish woman has something over her head. That's it. Being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Basman.
How many of you call your husbands Basman? Yeah.
Yeah. Call him Lord. Crystal, you call Richard Lord Basman? Or is it Richard? Bye. Bye.
Bye. So long, not bye. So long. Hey, look, watch. Hello.
Sarah called her husband Lord.
Lord Abraham.
Lord Brian.
Lord Calvin.
Lord Calvin.
She's smiling.
Yeah, Lord Calvin.
Yeah, he's lifted his two hands.
Yeah.
He's receiving.
Lord Senior Pastor Keith. You should yawn. You should yawn. Yawn properly.
Yeah, but we should be very, very, very mindful as women about the things of God, about the work of God. I'm preaching about the art of ministry for everybody. But on Mother's Day, I just feel like my introduction should be because of what I see around. Because then we should come and then the women have put together something. So, wow.
At least Mother's Day. You don't mind me on Sunday, but at least Mother's Day. This is the answer. What I'm saying is, Mother's Day, Anita. Anita should be, because so church tomorrow. I'm going to church. I want to take my children with me. I saw what's her name? Jackie Phil come walking to the church with her children. Going to church on Mother's Day to a dry naked church. As if we here don't know how to decorate the church. But you see, I can organize people to decorate the church, but what does it make you? It makes you irresponsible. It makes you a spoiled child. You will never grow and become a responsible person. So I have to step back and see what you can do after 10 years of being your pastor. Should I give a commandment for balloons to be pasted up here? But when it's your wedding, you behave different. That's what makes me more angry. And if you're going to marry next week, I say, if you're going to marry next week, you bring somebody from town to come and put some ugly, cheap, amateur decorations right here in this place. I'm preaching a good message. And you should feel, if you're a woman of this church, you should feel bad about what I'm doing. Feel bad. I want you to feel bad. Then change and then repent and take care of the things of God. We went to work yesterday. Nobody even cared about. So, can we bring some food? We should have requests. I said, oh, no, don't worry.
We are already getting food. Yeah. We're always looking to just one person to bring food.
Well, what are you doing in the house on Saturday? We have gone to work. It's church work. It's church business we are doing. Nobody's concerned.
They say, women shouldn't come there, so I'm not coming.
Your face, your eyes. You don't even understand how to. You don't even have understanding. You don't want lazy women, but women are welcome, but not lazy women. You should understand, you should be able to understand certain things. You go and we work. It'll be nice that we are there and then somebody appears. I brought something for here.
That one too we should call and organize.
It tells you the type of women we have around here.
If it was something concerning you, you want somebody to pay, give you something for it. And you don't care about anybody.
You don't care about anybody. Oh, the guys are going to work today, Saturday. Stacy, even a sandwich. Send some sandwich.
Look, it's Priscilla you are concerned about.
But Priscilla came to meet all of us here.
And Priscilla, someone will marry Priscilla, it will be you and this old man in the house. Priscilla will go. You watch and see. Yeah, it is the same man that you don't give a tennis ball to bring for all of us to eat. Someone is going to come and take Priscilla and marry she. And make you feel good. Mm-hmm. You and that old man at the back there, you be in the house. She gone. Yeah. Now you, what do you think? Oh, this, that's how we also did to our parents. And when your time came, you left. They also leave. Oh, these people at the back, they are saying all kinds of things. You give them another couple of years. So, right in front of you, they will kiss a man and say, yes, I do. They're gone. Gone. Because, hey, old man, old lady, how are you doing? Everything all right? Okay. We're just checking on you.
It's all right.
Old. In the house, hello. You have to take a room downstairs because you can't climb the stairs anymore. I tell you, a time will come, your legs lifting it like that. Erungo, I saw my father build his own, bathroom. And he built a little something you go over. A little what? Stump? You call it stump? What do you call it? A cobwall, right? A little cobwall like that. So, when he was strong and then you go in like that, you shower so that the water doesn't come out of the shower. I saw him call a plumber to break down that same thing. Because at a certain level, when he gets there, he has to take his leg, hold it aside, take his leg and do that. It came to a point he couldn't. So he called us, he said, break it. That thing that he could just go over like that. Now he had to break it. Even if he broke it too, that still he had to. He died at 86 years old. And he had to sit down and bath. Who sit down and bath? No, a time is going to come. When you get into the bathroom, you can't stand. And in those moments, you have to count your life and see what have you done for the Lord. Because you are getting ready to go and face Him. And the only thing that He'll be looking at, like He looks at the heart, is the works. It's your labor. It's what you spend your life doing here on earth. That's what He's going to count. Blessed are the dead in Christ. For they have ceased from their labors and their works. Revelation 14:13. Their works do follow them now. So life here on earth, ladies and gentlemen, is all about work. The Bible says God worked for 6 days and then rested on the seventh day. Your life and my life is based on work. We work all the time. It's the work we do that gives us opportunities and the privileges to have and to use the things we have. If you don't work, your life will be different. That's why you find some people who don't work and are lazy trying to marry those who work and have money. Because they know that without those resources, life is going to be tough. So our lives here on earth is more work. It's more work. So it is very important to rise up and go to a place where you feel nice and comforted. A place where all that you're doing is not just here on earth, but it's going to be also of profit to you when you die. Because we are going to die. And that's not the end of life. After we are dead, life starts. Real life begins after we are dead. If you think that when you are dead, you are dead, then chicken is better than us. Because at least when a chicken dies, somebody enjoys the meat. So if we are just, when we are dead, then it's unfortunate. Because when you are dead, look at you, nice, beautiful, look at your body, look at your face, look at your education, look at the things in your brain. You die, you are dead, you are just in a coffin, wasted. When a goat dies, when a pig that is so dirty dies, it brings joy to somebody's house. And when you die, there's no joy anywhere.
If that is the end of our of us, then we're useless. The mosquito is better. But no, 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 no. We have something called a spirit that continues after this tabernacle, this house, this one-bedroom apartment, this whatever two-bedroom apartment, this thing, bottom house, this top flat is laid down. Then the spirit continues. Now, when that spirit continues, you stand before God. And what you spent your life doing, not nursing, that is what is going to give you credit before the Lord or not. God is trying to tune our minds to spend our time and our energy in the things of God. And that's why I think it's appropriate to even start with the balloons thing that I started with. Because it is that mindset. You get it? It is that mindset, Sister Sherilyn. It's that mindset and that heart and that passion that will make this place. You see, there's a church around. And sometimes the pastor will post a part of the service on Facebook. And then sometimes you see. Now, I don't know, unless they have a strategy. The praise and worship people, Rivers and Mary, every day they have uniform. Every Sunday they put their picture on Facebook. They are all dressed in the same thing. It's almost as if you're a praise and worship leader, you must have extra budget for clothes. It's too fantastic. Even the choir, we can't get you to get a uniform. To get a robe for the choir. Hey, when you come against that, you realize you're dealing with people who are not mindful of God. And mindful about their own things. You have clothes in your house. Bags that you never open. Clothes you have never even started to wear. We can't seem to, God cannot seem to have you do more in his house. So if you have been coming to church for years, yet you don't do anything. It's a sign of backwardness and ignorance and it's like you got headspace all these years. You can't get it. That God is trying to give you an opportunity to work in the house of the Lord. That Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Have life. Have life. Hey, when my boss fired me, that is when I realized that, hey, it is only God who will not fire you. You wait until they fire you. Then you understand what I'm talking about. The job that makes you feel proud and moves around like a peacock. Wait until the boss or that job begins to go downhill and you are fired. Then it took me a few years to forgive my boss. I tell you, God made him fire me so I could come to Guyana. But it was very, very painful because I'd given my time to the job. I enjoyed, I loved to go there. And God was probably saying, you know what, but you're wasting your time. No, please, what you need is after your degrees and everything, and then you get a nice job, you will come back to know that it's God. We can't. Whatever you do, you must understand that it is just something you are here on earth doing to just support you financially. But the real satisfaction and completeness and fulfillment in this life is really doing God's work. That's what it is about. I tell you. So how to find your life's work? Look at that, because there's no point in going to a place where you're looking at the time. Time to go. When it's 12 o'clock, you get vexed when, like in the hospital, when a patient comes, emergency, and then you have to. I've been here all night. I'm closing at 7. Look at this. You'll be taking care of the patient, but it's not from your heart because you have finished your 12 hours. And I compare it to, you know, all the people who do things in the church. And I mention people's names and I make examples of people. Hey, who tirelessly do things for the church. people who don't give me a sense of pressure.
You know, sometimes you can be doing things with people, they can give you pressure. I mean, you can feel a little uncomfortable. You can feel it's like, not man, I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. It's like you are inconveniencing somebody. They're almost in a hurry to say, man, it's all right, man. All right, you, man, you got on. Don't fight up, man. Anytime you hear that, don't fight up. The person is feeling that, you know, they have inconvenienced you. But there's so many people in this church, especially the men, that don't give me that feeling at all. I'm here to see some of the women. When Jesus died, a Saturday morning, Sunday morning, there was a woman who went to make sure that the tomb was okay and that his body was okay. The men were inside. The men rather are the ones who work. The women are sitting, painting their nails. So when you paint your nails, you should ask yourself, what have I done in the house of the Lord? Whose eyes, who are you going to fight this? Where is this thing going? Whose face are you going to paint with this thing here? You are hiding your own. Why are you hiding your own? This one, I want this one. Where are you going with this one? Look. It's like a puma or cheetah. I should leave your hand. I should leave your hand. I should leave your hand. How can you wash my clothes with? And then you say, these days people have washing machine. Look how I use my hand. But we don't have money to buy a washing machine. Because of your nails, I should buy a washing machine. Lizzo. You go. If you have women with nails like that, please go. Mean they condemn things? You have to remove it and wash. When you finish, put it back with crazy glue or whatever. Julia, do you hear what I'm telling you? Yeah. You must get removable nails. That's it. Disposable and removable. Yeah. I'll buy it for you, don't worry. Yeah. When you finish washing, you take it and then you click. You're good. When you're going to cook, you take it, you throw it away. When you finish cooking, click. Disposable nails. Are you there? Now, before we even go to how to find your life's work, let's look at what is work? What do you truly understand about work? It's something we need to understand. I think last week we said that it is better to work than to rest, isn't it? Because God worked 6 days and he rested on just the seventh day. When you find your life's work, those are some of the things that will come out of it. You would like to do it more than to rest. When you find your life's work, rest. You don't want to rest. It's Robert. You don't like to rest. People say, are you tired? Every day church, you tired? You're feeling this, you're feeling this every day like that. Then they said they don't understand how come. He has so much into it. Because that is what happens when you find something that connects with your heart and your innermost being. I have said it here before. I used to dream a lot. You see, I was a senior prefect in school when I was in sixth form. I was a head prefect. Is that how you call it? Yes. Okay, head prefect. So I used to enjoy a lot of privileges. I had my own cane. I used to lash students. It was very nice, but student lashing students. It's nice. When you don't like somebody, you lash them more. And then you lash them bad. When I lashed some boy bad, the mother came with short pants to fight me in school. I'm sure she would have beaten me by if she had found me. I lashed some bad. The guy was stubborn. What? Left, right. I felt nice. The boy ran away and go and call his mother. The woman came with the short pants. He's looking for me. 5 years after I finished school, I'll have this dream, and I'll always be in school as a senior prefect. I mean, it was a dream that I would get about 3 days, if not more, in a week. I always had that dream. But interestingly, the dream stopped when I came to Guyana. It stopped. I remember the last time I had that dream. I remember. To me, it was to be a head prefect again, but somewhere in something. I was supposed to lead people in another area, in another environment. Even though that old school picture was coming all the time. So it's like when I got myself into the will of God, then it's like the prompting and the remembering, because I couldn't connect, I couldn't understand why. So now that it has stopped, then I connect the two. Then it is because I am back into raising and teaching and training and leading. This is what God really was telling me and talking to me and wanted me to get myself into. The dream has stopped. There are some dreams you've been dreaming. You will only understand it when you really give yourself to the work of God. I tell you. I never thought that time will come that, well, if I'm traveling, I would not like to travel. Who doesn't want to go on a plane? And you see the girls come and say, "Hi, chicken or fish? Chicken or fish? Chicken or fish? What would you like to drink? Chicken or fish? Chicken or fish?" You sit down at your seat belt. You say, "Chicken." Thanks, Dallas. Give you that. Would you like something more? "No, thank you." Good places, nice places. I never thought that a time will come in my life that when I'm required to travel. You see, I am responsible for many countries, even as I live here, in many churches. But it's somehow a little difficult for me to travel. I have the opportunity to travel. I can travel anywhere. I am responsible for the church in British Virgin Islands, in Tortola. I'm responsible for the church in Antigua. I'm responsible for the church in Tobago, the church in Trinidad, the church in Suriname, and the church in Wisma, the church in New Amsterdam, the church in Perica, and then Amster. But I like Easter penitence. I'm always here every Sunday. I'm too good, you like me, too, you see. But I have some responsibilities that traveling is making it a little. So fire too. Pearl. Last night I was in Pearl. My job has become demanding. Traveling is, you see, so you need to understand it's better to work than to rest. So like today, I'm sure some people are thinking, "Oh, today is Mother's Day. We are not going to Canal." We are going to Canal. Who announced that we are not going to Canal? Who said so? That's my wife. We are going to Canal. Just in case you thought that today you get your husband to do massage and thing. Jeremiah will be there, so the massage will not even be profitable, because massage, it must end with something. So how can Jessica and Jeremiah be there when they will have to do massage? What kind of massage is that? The massage, it doesn't need no child around. So when you massage where? You massage good. Pastor, do you understand what I'm talking about? You don't understand. It's good you don't understand. Hallelujah. The time is almost up. Understand, when we talk about work, understand that. Understand why too much rest is a negative thing. Too much rest. You must understand that too much rest, you need to rest, but too much of rest is very negative. It's a negative thing.
Pastor G, God rests only one day. If you give God 7 days, he will work more than rest. So if you're going to rest more than work, you are going to change how God made it. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 10. Generally, it's better. Some people don't like to work. I'm tired. Again? No, it's better to work. The Bible says, yet a little sleep. Not even much. A little sleep. A little slumber. A little folding of the hands to sleep. A little, not a lot. Then shall poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. This one you will want. Thy want as an armed bandit. Sleep, a little slumber. They moved us from Starbuck Market, so I ain't going nowhere no more. A little sleep. How are you going to get money? You got to find another strategy to live and to survive.
Because this country has been living in lawlessness for a long time. And I get angry and annoying with those who go and say the government don't like poor people and all of that. Please. People have not been real with us because they wanted our votes. They wanted our votes, so they don't tell you that you are living on a government reserve. That's the reason why it was a reserve. When it rains and the place gets flooded, all of us suffer from it. But there are places they cannot work at because you are living there. And if they say you should move right now, you behave bad. But that is not the place people must live. And you see, we like lawlessness. Now, when you allow people to be lawless for a long time, then it's very difficult to try and make them become law-abiding citizens.
If you go abroad, you can't behave like that. If you hear Trinidad, when they put you in detention. Just 55 minutes back to your country, they put you in detention. You're like a prisoner. You have not stolen anything. Put you in detention. Yeah, because it's just lawless. We've gotten used to it.
Last night I discovered that now some vehicles are putting LED lights in front of their vehicles. So now you have the headlamps and then an extra LED lights up the by the where the fender is. Now when the car is approaching, it's like you should close your eyes and drive. Who is going to control these things? And you see police by the road all the time with some toy, something that they do like. That's all they are mindful about. And people are blinding your eyes when you are driving. Who's going to check that? But you have traffic police. Another thing, Prince, is all the mechanics in town. They should move all the mechanics to a zone. You can't do auto mechanic in your house. It's lawlessness, Prince, but you go and say it. You say, what kind of one government they like poor people? Let's close roads. They say, but the thing is not bringing money. We are used to too much lawlessness. So a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the arms. Poverty will come to you like a traveler. You see, there's something about when somebody travels unexpectedly and come to your house, you will have to be a wicked and a cruel person to say, oh,
why are you telling me you're coming? There's no room for you here.
Somebody you know comes to you with their bags in the middle of the night. Anita, at least you tell Chantel, go and sleep. And let the person say, at least tomorrow we're going to sort things out. It's only somebody who's very wicked who says, hello, you got manners? Where you going? You want car? 24-hour notice? Me got no space?
No.
Any, no matter how unkind you are, you will try and accommodate the person for a day or something. At least the night. The Bible is saying that if you sleep a little,
and you slumber a little, then poverty will come into your life like that kind of traveler. When he comes, you have no say. You have to allow the person in. So some people are poor because they are lazy. Some people are poor because they like to rest more than they work. But if you are going to find your life's work, you have to understand that your life's work must motivate you to work more. That's why we call it your life's work. Once you find it, you go early in the morning, you come late. I was talking to Apostle Joe the other day, and he was saying that as we were talking, then I think he was leaving the office, and he said, "Hey, Charlie, Pastor Collins, let me end the call. It looks like I'm the only one in this building." And it looks as if he was probably in a building where it was a little, you know, this probably, I was just imagining, you know, these kind of movies, you see American movies, you see somebody in the garage, they take a lift, they go down the garage underground, and then you're the only one who's going to, it can feel a little scary. And it was around midnight when we were talking. So, I mean, you're the only person, you're walking in the garage like that, in a movie that we play, bah, 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 bah. some boogeyman is around somewhere. So he said, "You know what, Charlie, let me talk to you later. Let me just, it looks like I'm the only one in this building." That's what happens to people when they find their life's work. Rest is minimum. So sometimes if you know people or you know them and they find their life's work, don't fight them. Don't fight them. It's better to work than to rest. A little sleep will make you poor. But you see, when they say today is a holiday, they don't even have to say holiday. Let it rain a little bit in the morning. My house flood. Basman, small rain, 2 inches of rain. You can't go to work. Because when you are going, it is because of the money you get. That's why you go there. That's the only reason. So any chance you get to stay home, you will take it. But your life's work is not like that. Adrian, your life's work is not like, when you find your life's work, you realize that, nah. Even when you are supposed to rest, then, I mean, in Lighthouse, for example, let me close with this one. The bishop teaches us that, you know, when we go on leave, which some of us never even understand the leave. You see, because if your work, Ministry of Health, gives you leave, you enjoy it, isn't it? But when Lighthouse gives me leave, I don't even realize that I'm on leave. So my wife has to say, "But I thought you said you were on leave." So man, leave is for those who take leave, man. And it's one of the points, and we'll come to that place. I see, but Bishop tries to force us to encourage us to take leave. And he says that when you go on leave, switch off your phone. Hey, phone, switch off your phone. Hey, phone, hey. I can't switch off your phone. I've heard stories of, you know, people who they are on leave and then phone rings. And it looks at the wife, looks at the phone, looks at the wife, looks at the phone. And it's one of your assistant pastors. I got a wife. Let me see what goes. It's like you cannot just cut off. But if you leave and your boss calls, Piggy, your boss from Digicel Salesmart calls, you will say, "This is what you want. You know, they from leave." When you finish school, and then somebody said, "Girl, hear what happened just now. You know, I didn't leave, right? I was thinking, like, I guess I'm going to give." And I look at the busman, how he called me early in the morning. "Me know what you're looking for." "But me answer, no car. I enjoy me leave." But if you find your life's work, which is really what God gives you. Oh, the phone, I tell you. Sometimes you struggle with the phone. Your phone, you can be on your phone for, if you don't take care, almost half of the day.
Hey, for real. I don't know what you do when you're saying for real. I wonder. A little boy, his life, he said, I wonder. It's real. What is real? Yeah, this person. So, Bishop, is a bishop, he goes off phone and he comes on. And then, you know, we were so excited that he came on WhatsApp because he was only on text message. He refused to go on any WhatsApp or nothing. He was only on text message. No internet-based phone. Hey! So if you want, you have to send a text message. So when he came on WhatsApp, they were all excited. When I was in Ghana the other day, he took out his phone and he said, I can't do this. And he began to scroll down his WhatsApp messages. Scroll. Green. He said, I can't do this. He said, no, I can't do this. It's too much. I cannot. He said, how long is it going to take me to look? He said, look. Green. He said, I can't do this. I can't. Life's work is too much. If he's going to respond, he will not have time to sleep. That's when you open a message and it's like a book. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4. It's okay, I'll read this on my holiday. Stand to your feet, please. My time is up. Who's got Genesis? Hey, Shunammite. It's too powerful. The people don't clap to you when they feel, hey. It's not easy to preach you. Pastor, what do you think? Yeah. You must understand, when you find your life's work, it's something else. You must understand, it's a little sleep. You let us take our eyes off for a couple of days a week. Then before, to even gather the strength again to go. So now that we are on it, we should be on it until we finish. And then the season will be over and then another season will come. What do you think? You have a good idea. Yeah. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for presenting to us the opportunity to work for you. That's your heart desire. That's your plan for our lives. Now whether we are late or full time, that we will spend our time doing things that will benefit your church and your kingdom. I pray that this seed sown has not fallen on deaf ears or bad soils, but that these seeds have found the right type of soil that it will bring forth fruit. Thank you for the fruits these messages and these teachings have brought out. People turning their lives to God in part-time and full-time ministry. I give you praise and I give you glory. In Jesus' name. You're here this afternoon. You're not saved. You're not born again. If you're to die right now, you're not sure whether you'll go to heaven or hell. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. You've never said a sinner's prayer before. There's life after death. Are you going to spend life with God or are you going to spend life in hell with the devil? There are two places anybody can go when they die. They can either go to God or they can go to the devil. Pastor, I want to go to God when I die. I want to go to heaven when I die. Right now, I'm not sure. If you're not sure. Not that you've prayed a prayer before, you are not sure. No, that's a different disease. But you've never prayed that sinner's prayer before. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Today, not tomorrow. If you're here like that, just lift up your right hand up high and I'll pray with you. Pastor, please pray with me. I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to Jesus. God bless you. I see that and God bless you. I see that and God bless you. I want to be with God when that day comes. If you lifted up your hand, I want to ask you to come forward. Come to the front. I want to pray with you. Oh, encourage them with a clap. Encourage them. Carry them, come to
the front. You lifted up your hand. You lifted up your right hand. Come to Jesus now. Feel that. God bless you. Shaggy. I'm by. God bless you. God bless you. You want to come? Come now. It's not too late.
Lead me to the cross where your life poured out.
Come to Jesus now.
Bring me to my knees.
He's calling you.
Lord,
He's calling you.
Bring me yourself. I belong to you.
Let's close your eyes with me. Pray this prayer after me. Church, join in as we encourage them and pray this prayer together. Say with me, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. From today, I believe that I'm born again. I have eternal life. I am now a child of God, and my name is written in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, Amen.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful preaching of God's Word. For more information on the ministry of Reverend Victor Collins Isabri, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at lciguiana@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.lighthousechapelguiana.org. God richly bless you.